From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Bass Concert Hall in Austin, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. You know, this is why we came. I'll tell you what was going on. We were up there in Chicago, and we said to ourselves, you know, we need to see what the real America is thinking. And we decided to go to Texas, see, you know, salt of the earth, you know, the pickup driving, handgun packing, bar fighting, bad beer drinking, real people of Texas. And then we decided, nah, let's go to Austin instead. Now, Austin, as you might have heard, is in fact Texas adjacent. You can see Texas in the distance in all directions. And maybe when we get tired of being here shopping for cowboy hats made of organically farmed sustainable hemp, we'll go visit. In the meantime, though, we've got Austin music legend Robert Earl Keane joining us later to take our quiz. First, though, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter. This is Joe from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
I'm glad we were just in Washington. Lovely town. What do you do there?
I'm an attorney.
No.
Really?
Are you lonely? Because, you know.
How do you stand out when you're just another lawyer in Washington, D.C.? Do you dress funny? Do you
really? Well, I do, but that doesn't make me stand out.
No, I guess not. Well, welcome to our show, Joe. First, let me introduce you to our panel this week. As you have already heard, it is a writer for the Boston Globe and author of the forthcoming book to be published next week, Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Joe. Where are you going with that gun in your hand?
Also say hello to a deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hey, Joe.
Finally, it's a humorist and author of the new book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr., right there.
Hi, Roy.
There you go.
Joe, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle right here is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering device, whatever it may be. You ready to go?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I noticed that Perry Mason was involved in a lot of the same kinds of investigative work that I had been fascinated with reading Nancy Drew. So I decided to become a lawyer.
That was somebody giving her secret origin story, telling us why she decided to go into the law. Who is it?
I'm going to guess Judge Sotomayor.
Exactly, Sonia Sotomayor. All we can say, it's a good thing she didn't watch The Partridge Family growing up, because otherwise by now she'd be playing the tambourine in sold-out arenas. And then President Obama wouldn't have been able to nominate a self-made Latina raised by a single mom in the Bronx who got herself into Princeton and Yale and, as Obama went on and on about, quote, saved baseball. Apparently, Sotomayor got the nod only after the puppy who saved Christmas turned down the job.
And the fish who saved Pittsburgh had tax problems, so they didn't have no chance at all. So
apparently, the only thing this woman did not do was sew the original American flag, found the Red Cross, and give everyone in the audience a free car. So this woman, I mean, on first glance, seems unassailable.
Ha!
Well, and yet, I want you to put yourself, if you will, in the shoes of the Republican senators on the Judiciary Committee. On the one hand, you've got 40 million Hispanics and Latinos and who are going to be upset with you if you go after it too hard. On the other hand, you've got your base, you've got Rush Limbaugh. What do you do if you're in their position?
Well, she has, I think, been openly accused of empathy.
Yeah.
How's she going to worm out of that one?
I know.
Empathy is contagious. You start getting it, and everybody else gets it, and it's just an awful.
And just in a puddle of mush, then.
I know. Everybody feels each other's pain. Nothing gets done.
Exactly.
Do you think the nomination hearings will be fun? Because I think we should throw nomination hearing parties all summer. We should have drinking games.
No, I'm still trying to forgive her for saving baseball.
We'll have more on Judge Sotomayor and her confirmation battle later in the show. All right, here is your next quote.
I guess we'll be moving to Iowa now.
That was a man named Michael Riddle Crilley of Visalia, California, who was expressing the disappointment felt by many after the California Supreme Court this week upheld the ban on what?
Gay marriage.
Right. The California Supreme Court was asked to overthrow the results of last November's election, in which the people of California banned gay marriage, on the technical legal grounds that the people of California are stupid. The legal argument is known as post facto dumbo. The justice has said, in effect, if we had to overthrow every election result because it was stupid, we would have to erase the whole history of the state, and then we'd still be ruled by Mexico. So, as Mr. Riddle Crilley said, everybody in California who has any sense will move to Iowa, meaning that state will be transformed. Look for the big Des Moines Land sign looming over the Capitol. Vacation homes in Napa Auto Parts Valley. Some things in Iowa won't change. There'll still be a 4-H club, but at least one of the H's will stand for something else.
They're sharp.
They're good. They're from Texas.
Tractor pulls will be more interesting, though.
I don't get that.
Can you enter a Subaru in a tractor pull? I wasn't aware of that. Joe, here is your last quote.
Like when you bring the rental car back and there are no dents in it, you got a full tank and you feel good about it.
That was somebody talking about handing over a television institution he's headed up after 17 years. Who is it?
Jay Leno.
Yes, Jay Leno. Jay Leno took over from the legendary Johnny Carson in 1992 and, despite early doubts, became a success by, insiders agree, pretending to be dumber and less funny than he actually is. That's what they say. He was forced out by Conan O'Brien, who, insiders say, insisted he be given the Tonight Show slot or he'd go to another network, so Leno left the show on Friday night. Leno actually got a promotion, though, of a kind. He'll be hosting a primetime comedy show 5 nights a week to appeal to the primetime audience. It's tentatively titled Law and Order, Jay Leno.
You know, I do that.
You do what?
Pretend to be dumber and less funny than I am.
To increase your popularity?
No, it's just natural. I don't know. I never thought about it before.
Carl, how did Joe do in our quiz?
Joe, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
That is fantastic.
Hold on. Goodbye, Joe. Thanks so much for playing.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right now, panel, though, time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Roy, while Republican politicians have been cautious so far in talking about Judge Sotomayor, Republican commentators have not. They are criticizing, among many other things, her suspicious stated enthusiasm for what?
Well, like I say, empathy.
No, not that. I'll give you a hint.
She'll
be like, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention to the Constitution. I was too busy thinking about arroz con gandules.
Arroz con gandules?
Clearly, Roy, being from Georgia, you don't understand an authentic Puerto Rican accent, as depicted by me.
She loves spicy food.
Basically, yes. Her love for authentic Puerto Rican cuisine. TheHill.com reported, and they were not kidding, that some Republicans are, quote, privately questioning the nominee's enthusiasm for her cuisine of her family. You know, the food she ate growing up, like earthy dishes like pig intestines, pig's feet with beans, pig's tongue and ears.
Ugh.
The Republican argument about this is something like, well, what if the party before her in her court, with the law on its side, is in fact a pig?
Mm.
Judge Sotomayor may leap down from the bench and devour its yucky parts.
Not if Rush Limbaugh gets to it first.
No. This is also true. Another conservative pundit, Mark Krikorian of the National Review, complained that her annoying insistence that we pronounce her name correctly, Sotomayor, rather than Sotomayor, is an assault on good old American values.
There you go.
Quote, insisting on an unnatural pronunciation is something we shouldn't be giving in to, unquote.
Now, what was his last name again?
His name is Krikorian, a good old American.
Yes,
he's correct because, of course, taking foreign things and screwing them up is an American tradition. Yeah. The next thing you know, they'll take away our chicken fajitas.
That sounds
Boy, so... that was close.
That was really...
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Anthony Paglia from Natick, Massachusetts.
Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad.
You're getting some shout-outs here in Austin for Natick.
All right.
Hey. Well, welcome to our show. Anthony, yep. Now you're going to play the game, of course, in which you have to figure out who's telling the truth. Carl, what's the topic?
What could possibly go wrong?
This week we read about someone who thought they had a brilliant idea, a plan for something sure to be enjoyed, but sometimes schemes don't work out the way you might expect. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about ideas that clearly were not thought through. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail or whatever you like. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Charlie Pierce, let's hear from you.
Break out your penal pedals. It's the Tour de Felons. Some incredibly optimistic prison officials in France have arranged for a 1,400-mile cycling race modeled after the Tour de France in which almost 200 prisoners will participate. The difference between this race and the Tour de France is that instead of being shadowed by countless drug testing crews, the pack will also include 124 cops. Organizer Sylvie Marion said, "This project aims to help these men reintegrate into society, preferably, one supposes, not all at once." The participants, who will begin in Lille and end in Paris, seem enthusiastic. Says Daniel, one of them, "It's kind of an escape for us."
Giving a bunch of prisoners bicycles and putting them on the road. In France, your next story of a half-baked plan comes from Kerry O'Connor.
Everybody remembers the kind of ew-inducing shot of the astronauts on the International Space Station toasting the camera with water made from their very own recycled urine. Yes, the whiz kids at NASA installed a $250 million pee cycler, and apparently it gets the yellow out just fine. But the number one latest plans leaked to the media call for eliminating the original water system in favor of a full recycle model with no backup. Despite a steady stream of criticism, NASA spokeswoman Sarah Pheasant said it is pressing on with its plans.
Water, water everywhere in the space station, and not a drop you're real certain about drinking. Your last story of a scheme missing a crucial piece of logic comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
It doesn't take long for a morsel of fatty pork to pass through a duck. Alton Copel of Fredonia, New Hampshire, who has ducks, noticed this, and it gave him an idea for a surefire viral video. He tied a piece of fatty pork to a greased length of twine, placed it in his duck yard, and soon he had a string of ducks. The ducks were going on with their lives, contentedly enough, since Copel allowed for plenty of slack. But the video footage, four ducks, then five ducks, then six, didn't look like much. And then the local Humane Society got wind of his project. Last week, as Copel stood in the yard arguing with the Humane Society guy, and an eagle swooped down, grabbed the sixth duck, and flew off with the whole string, wouldn't you know it, as the other five ducks, one at a time, slid down the string, fell through the air, and landed in his pond, Copel's camera was in the house. So, you may be wondering, where does the questionable thinking come in? Here it is. Copel vows to make the whole thing happen again.
All right. Somebody has come up with a plan. Is it authorities in France from Charlie Pierce who are going to stage a wonderful bicycle race for convicted felons for their amusement and edification? Is it from Kerry O'Connor an idea to use only recycled bodily fluids for drinking purposes on the space shuttle, or from Roy Blunt Jr., a duck farmer with a thirst to be on YouTube and a piece of pork on a string? Which of these is the real story about maybe not the best idea in the week's news?
I'm torn between the bicycle race and the pee. Let's go, my gut's going with A. Let's do A.
You're going to go for the bicycle race. Charlie Pierce's story of the French authorities' plan to stage a bicycle race. Just give all the felons bicycles. Let them go fast as they
can.
Sure,
why not?
All right, well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the true story.
It seems so French, really, the idea of rehabilitation being a 1,400-mile multi-day bike ride around the country.
That was Lauren Mooney, the editor-in-chief of Bicycling Magazine, noting, I think with approval, the French plan to send its prisoners on a multi-day bike race. Congratulations, you got it right, Anthony. Well done.
Thank you very much.
You earned a point for Charlie. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your home answering machine, although I do want to say, I do hope somebody tries the duck thing.
Yeah.
Or the chicken fajitas.
Either or which. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
And now the game where we ask notable people about things they never bothered to note. It's called Not My Job. If you want to write boring songs about how your heart got broken, you move to Nashville. If you want to write really cool songs about how you got drunk and broke somebody else's heart, you move to Austin. That's what Robert Earl Keane did back in 1980. He is known as the Austin singer-songwriter. All the other Austin singer-songwriters want to grow up to be. He is with us right here, Robert Earl Keane. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So to start off, you learned to play music in college, right? You weren't one of a childhood prodigies. You came to it relatively late in life.
Yes, very much later.
Yeah. And what was it that inspired you? You just wanted to sing of your heartbreak and rough and tumble life, or you thought it'd be a good way to make a living?
Well, I liked music, and I went to a lot of shows, and I saw people that went to shows and noticed that the girls were all watching the guys holding the guitars.
Right. You tend to write often very funny songs about people who live, they live hard, if not perhaps the most intelligently.
Right.
Rolling Stone once called you the Grateful Dead for frat guys. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I like it.
Well,
I guess it's songs you can sing along to, especially when you're drunk. Is that it?
Right. If you run out of mushrooms, you can drink Keystone.
Yeah.
I guess that's and the other thing is I never sing in tune, so I guess there's some kind of comparison.
I understand there. tell me about since you came to Austin right away to start your career, and you've been here more or less ever since. I'm told that you went to Nashville for a while.
Uh-huh.
And how was that?
Really interesting. A lot of interesting people. And how many NPR stations are in Nashville?
I want you to assume, and we'll make sure this is true if it isn't, that nobody in Nashville can hear you right now.
Okay, fine. Nashville, as far as like to play music and stuff, it's kind of difficult. I came from Austin, you know, playing every bar and every club that I could possibly, you know, hang my shingle on or put my PA system up outside of, you know, I played at Spanky's Hot Dog Place one time, you know. I played at a garage sale one time here in Austin, Texas. so I wanted to play.
How long did you have to live with the people who bought you? I want this end table, and I'll take the singer to
it. I didn't come with the chrome wheel covers. But when I went to Nashville, I wanted to play like that, and I went to this place, and they said, oh, come here on Sunday. I know this sounds like a joke, but come here on Sunday, and we'll listen to you. So I came there, and there's a line out the door to play at this place, and I waited in line, finally played, and after I played, they said, we have approved you for our open mic night. I said, are you kidding me? And they went, no. And they said, you can come here and play your two songs that you choose Sunday a month from now. And I went, Jesus, I need to get a job.
Wow. and did you?
Yeah, I got a job.
What was the job?
I literally dug ditches. I remember digging this ditch and hearing my dad's voice going, you know, if you stay with music, son, you'll be digging a ditch. And I was...
actually digging a ditch. A metaphor no longer. It was real.
I was digging a ditch. And then I was working with one guy named John Henry on this dock one time. And he said, man, I know that you ain't like no dock worker. You're like one of them white boys that's like writing a book about being a black guy. I said, that's not true.
He really?
He said, well, you don't look like you belong here. I said, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. He says, well, you can give me a ride home. Yeah.
and that was the basis for your famous song, John Henry, the Suspicious but Perceptive Dock Worker. I love that song. It's a great song.
Often requested.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, we understand you actually have a ranch here.
Yes, I do.
You have a ranch.
Uh-huh. My wife and I lived there for 10 years, and, uh-huh. and then when there was a point at the ranch where there's this very, very fine line between isolation and solitude, and right. And we found it.
What is that line?
That line is when you wake up one morning and you hear your wife with a deer rifle shooting at cats. And you step outside, your back door, and she's just in her bra and panties with a deer rifle
shooting at the cat.
I said, man, this has gone some hillbilly. It's pretty hillbilly.
I was going to say, that sounds more like the thin line between isolation and Mississippi.
And I've been there too.
There you are. You're watching your wife shooting at the cats in her underwear, and you think to yourself, I've finally made it, or I'm going to back slowly into the house and lock the door until she's over this.
No, I got out my guitar and wrote a song.
Did you really? Well, Robert Earl Keane, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
You have just been tapped for the Skull and Bones.
If the bars and concert halls of Texas are on one end of the American experience, then far, far on the far other end is the Skull and Bones Society of Yale University, the most famous and elite secret society in the world. We're going to ask you three questions about the club to which both George W. Bush and John Kerry belong.
I knew that answer.
You did that?
Yeah.
All right. Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Robert Earl Keane playing for?
Robert is playing for Samuel Mintz of Austin, Texas.
There you are. Here's your first question. People think that Skull and Bones is a secret conspiracy devoted to vice, and of course they're correct. Evidence. It was founded in 1832 by a rich student with money made from what? A, the opium trade, B, stealing Indian land, or C, cheating at poker?
I pick one of those.
You do.
Three.
That would be the point. Here.
I'd have to go with cheating at cards.
Cheating at cards.
I think those jail guys are always cheating at cards.
They might well have been, but the money used to found Skull and Bones came from the opium trade.
Ah! There it
Student
goes.
William H. Russell founded the society with money his family made from trading opium.
Now I'm down to two.
You're down to two chances here, but that's okay because you're a...
Was that the easy one?
You know, you're You're a singer-songwriter. You want to be desperate. It'll help. Next question.
Okay.
They try to stay out of the news, but sometimes Skull and Bones get some unwanted publicity. For example, they were recently sued for what alleged offense? A, stealing the skull of the Indian leader Geronimo for use in their occult rituals. B, frightening a student so much with their initiation that he had to sleep with the light on for all 4 years of school. Or C, drunken members persistently showing up naked at midnight at the local 7-Eleven asking for Twizzlers.
You know, if it was Austin, I would know this answer because they, you know, they stole that big bug down there.
A big bug?
Was like, yeah. They, about once every 2 years, they used to steal this giant bug from like this Terminex sort of place.
Oh, like a big fake bug in front of an exterminator.
Yeah.
And they'd steal it, and what would they do with it?
They'd keep it and probably smoke opium
from it. Yeah. That's how they roll down here in Austin.
Right.
Opium smoking, bug stealing, songwriting, ceramics making, hemp wearing. The first one was they were sued for stealing the skull of the Indian chief Geronimo for use in their rituals.
Okay, I'll go with number
one. You go
with
Geronimo?
Yes,
you're right. That's what they did. Long-standing rumor that the members of the club stole Geronimo's skull a century ago, and Geronimo's heirs recently filed suit to get it back. Skull and Bones say they don't have it. They say that. This is very exciting. Get to the last question right. You win.
Okay.
Now, each member of Skull and Bones gets a nickname by which he is known to other bonesmen. When President George H.W. Bush was a member in the 1940s, he was known as Magog. That is the Bones nickname reserved for the bonesmen with what distinction? A, the wealthiest member, B, the dullest member, or C, the most sexually experienced member of the club?
Oh, my God.
George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush.
Right. Man, that's a really tough one, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
You'll be able to write a song about this.
Sitting
in an armchair.
Three.
They're going to go for they want sexually experienced?
I think three's the right one.
You're going to go with most sexually experienced?
Yes.
You're right!
Yes. Oh! Oh!
Bones members are required to relate their sexual histories upon initiation. Apparently, Poppy Bush went on at some length. By the way, and I love this, his son, George W. Bush, a former resident of this city, while a member, could not decide on a nickname, so he was and is known as Temporary. Carl, how did Robert Earl Keen do on our show?
He had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Samuel Mintz.
Well done. Well done. Robert Earl Keen is a singer-songwriter, the pride of Austin. He's recorded over a dozen albums. His new record, The Rose Hotel, will be out this fall. Robert Earl Keen, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much. In just a minute, Carl serves up a fresh slice of key rhyme pie in our listener limerick challenge with whipped cream. If you'd like to play, give us a call. 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, a Washington, D.C. councilman faced with increasing crime rates, believes he has a solution. He wants to ban what?
Criminals.
That might help, actually. No.
He wants to ban convenience stores.
No, I'll give you a hint. These
prime
things
folks
are
of Targets.
Portable, highly dangerous to your cholesterol level, easily concealed in your belly.
He wants to ban like fast food?
Not quite.
Hamburgers?
And covered in your choice of sausage or pepperoni.
He wants to ban pizza?
He wants to ban pizza slices.
Delivery or slices?
Jumbo pizza slices. Oh. Crime is not caused by poverty or by super predators, it's caused by extra pepperoni. Mm-hmm. D.C. Councilor Jim Graham has condemned his own district's strip of, quote, jumbo slice pizza joints and the way they attract drunk, hungry people late at night who inevitably start brawling. Owners are up in arms, saying the proposed legislation unfairly targets pizza joints for being, quote, popular. What's interesting about the situation is that due to a recent Supreme Court decision, though, passage of the law would mean that you may not be able to have or carry a large slice of pizza in Washington, D.C., but handguns are okay.
Yeah, you couldn't ban criminals because, in that case, only innocent people would commit crimes.
That's a good point.
Wow. Wait, no, it's not. No, wait.
Wait a minute.
It's a little hard to...
Yeah.
Pizza's starting to make sense now. Can you get two slices? Or is that like a multiple felony?
No, apparently these places... Two counts of pizza.
Yeah.
Apparently, these... Imagine a pizza the size of like a manhole cover. And these are enormous slices that are offered on these places in Washington, and they attract the wrong crowd. Because right-thinking people want appropriately sized pizza.
Mm-hmm. Can you hit somebody when you're holding a slice of pizza the size of a manhole cover?
I don't know.
Fold it first.
Okay.
You can poke them with it in the eye, maybe.
Roy, good news for the beleaguered publishing industry. While things are going south in just about every way, a new study shows that people in publishing do what more and more successfully than any other profession?
I know people in publishing, and I'm drawing a blank.
That's right. Draw blanks. No.
No. You'll have to give me a hint.
Remember that story of how J.K. Rowling started out writing Harry Potter on napkins? Well, they were cocktail napkins.
Oh, drink more.
Yes,
oh,
they drink more.
Oh, yeah.
Move over, Mad Men. You and your carousing advertising buddies have been replaced by the hard-boiled and hard-drinking editors and associate editors and authors, of course, of the publishing biz. This survey by the British Department of Health found people in publishing, media, and entertainment abuse the most booze, an average of 44 units per week. Mm. And that's substantial. In publishing, a unit is equal to how much Hemingway drank every day. Mm-hmm. But we really didn't need this survey to tell us that the publishers were all drinking. How else do you explain the publication of the new young adult series, Captain Morgan and the Search for Cuervo's Gold? Or the hit novel, Cold Frost-Brewed Mountain. Mm-hmm. Or the Maya Angelou reissue, I Know Why the Caged Bird Burped the Alphabet.
Yeah. Well, it's the last thing they cut back on, but I think they cut back on books, and then finally...
Yes, when there's nothing left.
Right, yeah.
Charlie, the economic director of Hardin, Montana, says he has a plan to, quote, bring hope and opportunity to his town. He's asking the federal government to send Hardin what?
All our terrorists.
Yeah. Yes.
Bring them to town.
The Gitmo detainees. In a remarkable show of bipartisan unity, Republicans and Democrats in Washington together rose up to tell President Obama that he'll have to move those prisoners at Gitmo to the South Lawn because the thought of having dangerous criminals in their states gives them the vapors. Not so for Hardin, Montana, which thinks that an influx of highly allegedly dangerous alleged terrorists is just what the town needs. They even have a brand new, so far empty jail there for them. The Gitmo detainees will bring needed federal dollars, international fame, and of course they'll become a symbol of civic pride. We imagine Hardin celebrating detainee roundup days every summer, culminating in that great moment where one selected prisoner emerges from his cell, and whether or not he sees his shadow, he's thrown back in it for an indefinite period. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. If you ever wanted to know what we do during the week, check us out, yes, on Twitter, twitter.com/waitwait. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Susan from Yuma.
From Yuma, Yuma, yes. Arizona?
Yes.
What are people from Yuma called?
Humans.
That's
humans?
What I figured, yeah. I figured that's what it must be.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Carl Castle, Susan, is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
My poodle's considered quite posh.
and yet through the mud he will slosh. To get my mutt clean, I've got this machine. It's my new automatic dog.
Wash.
Right. Thanks to a French inventor, you'll soon be able to simply chuck your filthy pooch in the Dog-O-Matic dog washer. Based on car wash technology, the Dog-O-Matic looks like a large metal box with a glass front. You simply pop your doggy inside, select the dog's size, and wash cycle and enjoy, because the glass seal will keep you from hearing your faithful pet cursing you to hell. And despite what your dog may tell you, the inventor insists that the Dog-O-Matic is humane. Quote, it doesn't take too long to wash the dog, usually a few minutes. The longest part is the drying. The dogs don't seem to get bored. They just sit there and they come out clean.
They don't get bored.
They do come out, however, with a newly acquired taste for your blood, though. Mm. So.
And they really don't like the waxing cycle very much.
All right, very good. Here is your next limerick, Susan.
Do techie folk dance cheek to cheek? Click here if you're socially meek. Is there romance in nerds? Let your voices be heard. Then we'll know the best lovers are...
Geek?
Geek, yes! Yes, indeed. Huh. Want a skilled, thoughtful, caring lover? Find a geek. This conclusion, which will come as no surprise to geeks and those who love us, comes from a survey on a PlayStation 3 website, so you know it's unbiased.
They're still tabulating the one at the Babylon 5 chat group.
Yeah. According to the survey of 2,000 respondents, the geekier the person, tech worker, scored the highest, the more likely they were to put their partner's sexual needs ahead of their own, although this is not clear if this is because of empathy or desperate gratitude. The study was limited to respondents who were in a stable relationship, but the site was forced to disqualify hundreds of applicants because living with mom for 40 years does not count as a stable relationship.
Hey!
What's that spot?
Yeah, my dog doesn't want the doggy wash.
All right.
Peter, I think it wants us to follow him.
Yeah, okay. All right, Susan. Here is your last limerick.
Among ducks, the opinion does totter if best showers are cooler or hotter. But their minds are quite set that they like things quite wet. Yes, ducks, it appears, do like...
water.
Right. Very good. Brace yourselves, America. A 3-year-long study from the University of Oxford has revealed the shocking news that ducks like water. This revelation was met with outrage from farmers and know-it-all groups claiming they could have saved Oxford the £300,000 it spent on the study. Oxford defended itself, saying the study has revealed many more new facts about ducks. For example, water tends to beat up and roll right off of their backs. Next up for Oxford, an inquiry into the religious preference of the Pope.
And I thought you were going with the Bears.
I know. Bears. Everybody thought we were going to go with the Bears. Yeah. Carl, how did Susan do in our quiz?
Susan was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so she wins our prize.
Well done. Yeah. All right, it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Charlie Pierce has the lead, Peter, with 5 points. Roy Blunt Jr. has 3. Kerry O'Connor has 1.
All right, Kerry, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. South Korea and U.S. forces are on high alert following nuclear tests done by blank.
North Korea.
Right. President Obama spoke at a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery in observance of blank.
Memorial Day.
Right. Toys R Us announced Thursday that it was buying high-end toy store blank.
FAO Schwarz.
Right. President Obama picked former astronaut Charles Bolden to be the new head of blank.
NASA.
Right. A hunter from Connecticut was mistaken by a turkey by a fellow hunter and wounded after he blanked.
Made a noise like a turkey.
Yes, he hid behind a turkey decoy and made turkey calls. Microsoft announced it was releasing a new search engine called Bing that it hopes will finally challenge blank.
Google.
Right. To fight global warming, U.S. Energy Secretary Steve Cho is recommending that people put a blank on their house.
Blanket.
No, a white roof to reflect the sun.
Oh, residents, I did that.
Good for you. Didn't get you anything here, though. Residents of a street in Britain have renamed their road Archer's Way after years of being embarrassed by the street's former name, blank.
A really crummy street.
No, it was known for many, many years as Butthole Road.
I didn't know we could say butthole.
Yeah,
apparently
I'm
you can.
Too.
You can say it if it was the name of a road in Britain.
Oh, great! Yeah. How often does that come?
You can imagine the barrage of jokes the residents along the road, formerly known as Butthole, were forced to endure. No, it's not a one-way street. And I'm not going to say the next one I have here. An internet campaign is already underway to change the name back to Butthole Road, because it's funny. Or at least it's something equally catchy like Uranus Way, you know. Carl, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Kiri had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 13 points. And Kiri has the lead.
Well done, Kiri.
Pity points.
All right. Roy, you're up next. Fill in the blank. An Illinois circuit court released audio tapes of phone conversations of Roland Burris discussing campaign contributions with blank's brother.
Blagojevich.
Right. After Rush Limbaugh and Dick Cheney charged that he was no longer Republican, blank defended himself on TV's Face the Nation.
Colin Powell.
Right. Time Warner announced Thursday that it would be spinning off blank.
AOL.
Right. AOL. This week, 4 states announced new restrictions against smiling for a blank picture.
Oh, a driver's license.
Right. Scientists in Japan were pleased to discover that the genetically modified glowing monkeys they'd created were able to blank.
Pass on glowing features.
Yes, to their little glowing babies. Recent reports of infidelity caused the season premiere of the reality show Blank to become the most watched show ever on the Learning Channel.
Okay, do I have to get it right?
You do.
Would you want to admit that you got this right?
That's not my problem.
Kate and somebody. Kate and Don. Kate
no,
and Bob.
You're not, you have to get more than that. John and Kate plus
John
8.
John got plus 8. Oh,
sorry.
Well.
AT&T revealed it may have influenced the outcome of the Blank finale by supplying cell phones to supporters of winner Chris Allen.
American Idol.
Right. A Colorado man charged with slashing the tires of almost 50 vehicles said he did it because blank.
Because it felt so good.
No, he did it because he had been forced to get braces back in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. Alexander Cabela said he blames the braces and his relationship with his mother for his urge to vandalize cars. Because nothing gets your slashing hand itching like a mouthful of metal 20 years ago.
Sure.
Police didn't buy the braces explanation initially, but then Cabela showed them an old school photo, which they were forced to admit did explain a lot. Carl, how did Roy do?
Roy had the 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Roy has taken the lead.
Oh, my God. So then, how many does Charlie need to win?
He needs 5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
All righty then. Here we go then, Charlie. This is for the game, fill in the blank. A deal with bondholders paved the way for blank to declare bankruptcy on June 1st.
GM.
Right. Scientists revealed that they had discovered a 47-million-year-old fossil that they say is the blank.
Missing link.
Right. Released after serving 32 years in prison, Sarah Jane Moore told the Today Show Thursday it had been wrong of her to attempt to blank.
Shoot Jerry Ford.
Right. 2 workers at Yellowstone National Park were fired last week after they were caught blanking.
Stealing picnic baskets.
No. Urinating in Old Faithful. After singing the song Memories in the musical Cats, blank advanced to the semifinals of the show Britain's Got Talent.
Susan Boyle.
Yes! Ashton Kutcher threatened to stop using the website blank if it went ahead with plans for a reality TV show.
Facebook.
Twitter.
Oh.
He's a famous tweeter. To lure qualified nurses, a private clinic in Prague is offering prospective employees free blank.
Oh, man, I bombed out here. White suits.
Boob jobs. What better way for plastic surgeons to show off their skills than to have nurses show off the merchandise? Before we criticize, we should note the Ice Care Clinic is sensitive to the fact that not everyone would want or need a free breast enhancement surgery. So if you prefer, they'll give you liposuction, facelift. No Botox treatments will be allowed, however, because nurses that can't smile properly just look unnatural and fake. Carl, did Charlie do well enough to win?
He needed at least 5 to tie, but Charlie had just 4 correct answers. So with
15
points, Roy Blunt Jr. is this week's champion.
There you go. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what shocking thing we'll learn about Sonia Sotomayor during her confirmation hearings. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And Mini, with a 37 miles per gallon Mini Cooper with go-kart handling. Learn more at miniusa.com/info. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Ali Lang. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Carlos Asensio. And the crew at the Bass Concert Hall. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog. Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what shocking thing will we learn about Sonia Sotomayor? Charlie Pierce.
While at Yale Law, she drank tequila out of Geronimo's skull while sharing a private, intimate moment with a masked alumnus she knew only as Magog.
Kyrie O'Connor.
That she was responsible for the breakup between Madonna and A-Rod.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
She's not a real American because she's never shot cats in her underwear.
Well, if any of those things are revealed about Sonia Sotomayor, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Roy Blunt Jr., Charlie Pierce, and Kyrie O'Connor. Thanks to Stuart Vanderwilt, Sylvia Ponce Carson, Hawk Mendenhall, Lee Wood, and the staff of KUT, Austin, Texas, America. Thanks to our wonderful audience here at the Bass Concert Hall. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. And we will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.